Welcome to a complimentary podcast from Association Management Consulting and Evaluation Services. This is one in a series of podcasts presented by AMCES consultants for those involved or interested in association leadership and management. The topic of this podcast is successful meetings. The topic is being presented by AMCES consultant Nancy Barrett. My name is Nancy Barrett, and I am a partner in Association Management Consulting and Evaluation Services, and I am pleased to share some of my experience with you that will hopefully help you with your meetings. If you are a staff or a volunteer with a national organization, then you participate in meetings. While there are many types of meetings, from large conferences to internal staff meetings, this podcast will focus on board and committee meetings. Meetings provide participants with an opportunity to share information, solve problems, make decisions, and accomplish tasks. Successful meetings do more. They help an organization develop its culture and climate and build team. Successful meetings help build relationships. Why is it important to get it right? Meetings are expensive in terms of hard costs such as travel and accommodations and participants' time. It is important to understand true meeting costs. For example, if you volunteer for a group that meets four times per year, your pre-reading, travel, and on-site meeting time might total 12 and a half hours of working time per meeting, for a total of 50 hours total to serve on the group. If your time is worth $50 an hour, which is arguably a low rate, your volunteer time is $2,500 per year. If there are 10 people in the group, the annual indirect cost is $25,000. To maximize the return on investment for your time, it is important to get it right. There are all kinds of reasons that meetings don't go well. The objectives might be undefined or unclear. There's no agenda. There are no minutes from the last meeting, so follow-up is not clear. The chair and the participants are not prepared. The people who have the knowledge required to make decisions aren't there in the room. The meeting is poorly organized. Perhaps it doesn't start or end on time. The technology doesn't work, or there's a lack of quorum. Maybe there's no clear model for problem solving or decision making. Discussions are unfocused. Not all of the participants contribute. Important items are dealt with last and therefore rushed. And there's no evaluation or discussion on how things can be improved. So what does a good meeting look like? For a good meeting, notice is received on a timely basis. Participants know why they are there and what is expected of them, and they're prepared in advance. People with the right knowledge and expertise are present, and the technology works. The chair started the meeting on time, kept the group focused, and finished on time, and all of the participants contributed to the discussion. The group feels good about what has been accomplished. The group discusses how future meetings could be improved, minutes capture decision, and follow-up action required. There are three key ingredients for a successful meeting: people, content, and process. Let's start with people. Everyone involved in the meeting has an important role to play in ensuring that it is a success. The chair's role is critical to the success of the meeting. It is up to the chair to set the tone for the meeting by creating the right atmosphere and modeling respect and civility. The chair also needs to help the group stay focused on the desired outcomes. This requires that the chair has some important skills. The chair has to be patient, ensuring that everyone has an opportunity to speak. If necessary, the chair has to be able to tactfully curtail debate or tangents. And sometimes the chair has to be courageous to address members who are disrespectful and not participating. Those who are new to serving in the role of chair might consider getting some training or coaching to help them maximize their impact in this important role. Participants also have an important role to play in the success of the meeting. They should come to the meeting on time and prepared, with all of the tasks that were assigned to them completed. Those who have more experience with the group can provide hospitality and help orient new members and support continuing members. Participants can also support the chair by offering constructive feedback. The staff will work closely with the chair to determine the purpose of the meeting and develop a draft agenda for the chair's review. Staff should provide support to the chair by sharing best practices, for example, providing suggestions to save time. They will also arrange the logistics and play a key role in ensuring that the environment ensures that the meeting is productive. The staff will help the participants prepare by circulating the agenda, background materials, minutes, and communicating all of the logistical details in advance of the meeting. The staff also provides a key link with other groups in the organization to make sure that there is communication between the groups and no overlapping activities. The staff also provides hospitality to all participants, ensuring that they receive the orientation that they need. All groups should have terms of reference, which usually outline what the group is expected to deliver or produce, what resources, such as staff or financial resources, does the group have at its disposal, who does the group report to and to whom are they accountable, how often, where, and for how long do they meet, what knowledge and skills are required to be part of the group. The content of the meeting is outlined in the agenda. Some best practices for agendas include it should be as short and simple as possible. There should be some means for the participants to contribute to the agenda. There should be estimated time frames for each item. And it should be circulated with meeting materials in advance. High performance organizations design agendas in three parts: information items, decision items, so that the group knows what they need to accomplish that particular day, and blue sky thinking, so that they can do some strategizing and planning for the future. The processes used for the meeting are important as well. Here are some examples of processes. Quorum, ensuring that there's a minimum number of attendees needed to make decisions, and this is often listed in the bylaws. Using motions, most groups follow the principles of rules of order, but in a less formal way. So a motion typically has a mover and a seconder and acceptance by the chair, and once it's seconded, discussion can occur and sometimes motions will be amended by the discussion. Sometimes we use voting, which is the most common is a show of hands, sometimes secret ballot. If it's a teleconference and you can't see people, you might use a roll call. And often decisions are made by consensus when the chair can see and based on the discussions that they're ready to move on to the next item, that everybody is in agreement. Minutes are a key part of meetings. They record key decisions, discussion points, and action items by whom and when, the date, the time, the location, the purpose, and who is in attendance and who sent regrets. In addition to these suggestions, there are very clearly defined processes available that can be adopted by organizations to make decisions that are more complex. If you've participated in any meetings, you know that issues do come up. Here are some examples of a couple of some common issues and how perhaps they could be dealt with. Conflict of interest. This occurs when a participant has any personal or financial interest that is or is seen to be incompatible with the interests of the organization. A clear policy is critical and must be included as part of the orientation process so that participants know what is expected of them. Another meeting issue is if the group is going into in-camera often. Groups should only go into in-camera, meaning that staff are not present, only when necessary. And often it's used, for example, when they're discussing a staff performance review or something like that. Confidentiality with going in-camera is critical, and there should be a clear policy to deal with in-camera meetings and confidentiality to ensure that each participant follows it. A big one is disagreement with group decisions. We know that varying points of view in a meeting are good. Diversity is good. That enables good, productive discussion. But it's important to have a confidentiality policy to ensure that the group speaks with one voice outside of the meeting, as a divided group can lose credibility. There can be other issues with group dynamics, and there are strategies to deal with these as well, which will be addressed in a future podcast. At the end of the meeting, the chair should help the group determine the next steps, review the tasks assigned, set the date, time, location of the next meeting, summarize the group's accomplishments, and thank the group members for participating and contributing. It's also important to ensure that there's an evaluation component on every agenda. This can be very simple and very quick, just asking the group what went well, what could be improved, and allowing groups to brainstorm on that just for a couple of minutes. It's important to record whatever comments are provided and make sure that feedback is addressed and improvements are made the next time. So to summarize, successful meetings build relationships, and develop team to more effectively solve problems and achieve organizational objectives. All participants, regardless of their role, have something to contribute to ensure that the meeting is a success. The meeting should provide the participants with an opportunity to acquire information, make decisions, and plan for the future. There are strategies that can be used to encourage participation and make decisions, and it is important to have clear policies in place to prevent issues that can negatively impact the reputation of the group. A quick evaluation at the end of the meeting will help the organization continuously improve. I hope that you found this information helpful, and please feel free to contact me for more information or to provide feedback. I wish you every success with your upcoming meetings.
You have been listening to AMCES consultant Nancy Barrett. If you would like to talk to Nancy about this podcast, you can call her at 613-599-1948, extension 1, or you can email at nancy@amces.com, nancy@amces.com. For more information about AMCES and access to informative articles, tools, and other podcasts, visit us at www.amces.com. Thanks for listening.